You know you've got a serious problem when the New York Times says a risky bet on Syrian rebels.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There's reports this weekend that ISIL has struck a non-aggression pact with some of the moderate Syrian rebels. In light of what you just said about arming people on the ground to take the fight for the U.S., are you troubled by these reports? What should we make of them?
I'm not. This is the Syrian Revolutionaries Front. That's the group that's mentioned in the story that you're referencing. They've issued a statement indicating that they never ceased hostilities with ISIL and will continue to fight ISIL and the regime.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. A twisted faith to
justify a violence. I'm confident that U.S. diplomacy for these moderate Syrians will outweigh ISIS's diplomacy for them, that they won't end up being much more persuasive than we are. I mean, they're fighting right there alongside them. Also,
they're not fighting alongside them. They're actually fighting them, right? And they have been for 3 years.
The German ambassador quoted the New York Times saying that the reason Germany won't provide weapons to the moderate Syrian rebels is that they have no confidence where those weapons will end up. Why are we so much more confident about the final destination of the weapons than the Germans are?
Does that mean that you are unlikely to vote for authorization to train and arm rebels there in Syria?
Right now I can't do that. I cannot support arming the rebels who we have not been able to identify. The last I heard about the rebels in Syria, these are the same people maybe who sold one of our correspondents who got their head cut off.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. I'm coming to you from the campus of Regent University School of Law. Our office is here. Skip Ash, our senior counsel and head of our National Security Practice Group, is with me here at Regent. And David French is in our media center. And we're going to get right into this conversation. It is a fascinating problem, folks, when you've got the New York Times editorial board saying a risky bet on Syrian rebels. And David, this is something we were talking about on the broadcast yesterday. It's something we address in our book, Rise of ISIS. But the fact of the matter is, it is a risky bet, and it's a bet that we well could lose.
Oh, absolutely. It's a risky bet. It's a bad bet. And when even the New York Times can see this, I think this our argument is beginning to get some real traction here. The rebels have signed truce agreements with ISIS. They have handed over weapons to ISIS and reportedly even sold an American to ISIS to be beheaded. So risky is an understatement.
Of course, it's the New York Times actually saying risky here, Skip. And the reality is, this is part of the president's narrative that just does not work. And he will not change narratives here.
No, he won't. And this is very naive, because the fact that he does not recognize that the people with whom he's dealing, the people with whom he wants to deal, are conniving with our enemies. And this is the problem in that whole region of the world, that they make alliances. The Arabs do this all the time. They make alliances, and these alliances shift back and forth. So we cannot be sure, even if we make an alliance with them now, that it will be solid tomorrow.
That's the real problem with all this, folks. We've got a petition that is going great. David, what's the latest response? I mean, we just posted this yesterday.
Oh, yeah. The response has been overwhelming, Jay. We had tens of thousands signing in just a couple of hours yesterday, and we were hit over 40,000 rapidly.
So here's what we're doing, folks. We're going to let Congress know and the White House know that we don't want to be funding groups of jihadists with our taxpayer dollars. If you want to sign that petition, you could do it at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. I encourage you to do that. aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Also, our book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Three of the authors are on the radio broadcast today with you. Is now on Kindle. It is live. You can get it right now on Kindle, on eBooks, or your Apple iBook. Any one of those three are available for the book. Let me encourage you, folks. The next 4 days are critical for the book's success. I'm going to ask you a favor. If you've not yet acquired the book, if you've got Kindle, if you've got an Apple iBook, if you have a Nook, go order the book right now. You can do that, and it puts it on the bestseller list, and you'll get it immediately, and you'll get the song from our band here at Jay Sekulow Live. But also, folks, we encourage you to do that, and you can also order the trade paperback. Paperback comes out October 14th, but we want pre-sales. Do it right now. Help us out. That's going to help all of us out. We'll be back with more in a moment. I can't stand to see this evil anymore. No.
As Americans express growing concern about ISIS, the Islamic State, the Obama administration is going to Congress to ask for money to arm Syrian rebels. That's right, he wants to arm and fund jihadists, so-called moderates that, according to reports, are working with ISIS. You can't fight ISIS with jihadists. Tell President Obama no American weapons or money for Syrian jihad. Add your name to our new petition online now at ACLJ.org. And learn the real story of ISIS and Hamas. Order ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow's new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. A powerful must-read, now available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple. Help us sound the alarm. You can buy the book online, riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order your copy today.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. We're coming to you from the campus of Regent University School of Law, where with Skip Ash, David French is in our media center. Let me ask you a couple things before we get into this conversation, folks. This idea that we're backing Syrian rebels should be a concern to everyone. And look at the track record. The president has picked the wrong side on every single group in the Middle East. He was backing the Muslim Brotherhood. So you look at where this is coming from, and I was on the 700 Club today, and I was talking with Pat Robertson about this. I mean, you look at the narrative that the president's put forward, and it's just not playing out. And the reality is we now have a threat that is the greatest terrorist threat in our history. 31 to 35,000 real troops, millions of dollars coming in a day, and territory under their control. ISIS, the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, and now, of course, they're calling themselves the Islamic State, is serious. And when they call themselves ISIL, they're adding the Levant. And the Levant is the greater Middle East. So if you think their recognition of where they want to go is clear, that their first job is to take over the entire Middle East. Now, we're going to ask you to do a couple of things today. One, and this is really important, we want you to sign that petition to stop funding, because we're talking about giving taxpayer dollars to Syrian moderate groups. We don't know who they are, though. So that needs to stop. And you could do that at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Number two, and this is really critical, we want to make sure your voice, our voice is heard on this. Our book, Rise of ISIS, is now out on Kindle, on Nook, and on Apple iBooks. And I want to make sure you acquire it. Many of you have already ordered it. And if you have, by the way, it should have already been downloaded to your e-reading device. But we want to encourage you to do that today. Our three-day reporting period coming up here today, tomorrow, really till Friday, is critical to get on that New York Times bestsellers list. And that's the goal. So what we'd like you to do, if you haven't ordered the book yet, let me encourage you to do that today. Right now, actually. We really want to encourage you to order the book. If you want to order the paperback, you can do that and order multiple copies for your friends and family. That's critical as well. So what we want you to do right now is go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or, and you can do this as well, Apple iBooks. Or you can order it from any of those places. The hard copy, what we call the paperback, will be out October 14th, but you can pre-order. So again, encourage you to do that. Let's talk about the nature of what's going on with Syria and the significance of this, because I think this is a really important move. Give me your analysis of this idea of who we're dealing with here. We don't really know who these moderate rebels are.
We don't know who they are, and that's the major problem. These are people who are fighting the Assad regime, but there are all sorts of people fighting the Assad regime. And what's going to happen is, as we side with them and give them training, the problem we have is then we are, in effect, assisting the Iranians in supporting the Assad regime, which is aligned with the Iranians. The Iranians are not our friends. And the other problem is that we have this group that we may work with, and they've already struck a peace treaty with ISIS, which is the most dangerous group that we have seen in our lifetimes.
Yeah. So, David, I want to get really practical for people here, because I think the president laid out this statement of how he was going to move this forward. And I want to if we have that sound, let's go ahead and get it ready. I want your comment first. But the president laid out this. We're going to work with these moderate Syrian rebels. What is your sense of where we're going with this? I mean, you got the New York Times saying this is really dangerous. They call it, quote, a risky bet.
This is a movie we've seen before, Jay, and the movie was called Libya. So what happened in Libya is the Obama administration decided to depose Muammar Gaddafi, did not put boots on the ground, backed a bunch of Libyan jihadists, thinking he was going to make the situation better. And then as soon as those jihadists deposed Gaddafi, what did they do? They turned on the United States of America. They killed our ambassador, killed three other brave Americans, chased our diplomats out of Tripoli, yeah, and recently filmed themselves on YouTube jumping in the ambassador's swimming pool, taunting the United States of America, and now all of Libya is essentially a terrorist safe haven. So we've seen this movie before. It does not turn out well, and the president is refusing to learn from his mistakes.
So Chuck Hagel is testifying at the Senate right now. Let's go into that if we can.
Military support. President Obama, Vice President Biden, Secretary Kerry, and I, and others have been working and will continue to work to unite and expand this coalition. At the NATO summit in Wales, Secretary Kerry and I convened a meeting of key partners.
So they're
in the
talking
coalition.
About this coalition, and which is fine. But here's the problem: I'm looking at news reports, and I'm not talking about from conservative newspapers. I'm talking about the New York Times, The Hill. The Hill says moderate Syrian rebels in the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, reportedly struck a ceasefire deal. This ceasefire deal is a non-aggression pact with each other, and that they are not going to go after each other as they go after Assad. So, folks, we are going to end up, this is the folly of the presidency here. Now, I want you to listen to what President Obama said the other night in this message about Syrian opposition, number 22.
Across the border in Syria, we have ramped up our military assistance to the Syrian opposition. Tonight, I call on Congress again to give us additional authorities and resources to train and equip these fighters. In the fight against ISIL, we cannot rely on an Assad regime that terrorizes its own people, a regime that will never regain the legitimacy it has lost. Instead, we must strengthen the opposition as the best counterweight to extremists like ISIL, while pursuing the political solution necessary to solve Syria's crisis once and for all.
Okay, let's talk about this, folks, because this is what's so absurd. We have reports from multiple sources saying the Syrian moderates have cut a deal with ISIS. So why in the world would we be cutting a deal to fund them? The danger in this, Skip, to me, to just be a huge challenge. I mean, we could end up actually arming armies that will be against us.
Absolutely. That's the problem. If we even look in just the Israeli context between the Fatah and Hamas, Fatah we used to refer to as a terrorist group, and now all of a sudden they're moderates. This is exactly the same problem in Syria. None of these people is moderate. So we have a situation where, relatively speaking, they may be moderate, but they cut all these deals. They have these alliances that go back and forth. They make them. They're destroyed. They make new ones. And you never know who is allied with whom over there. And here we are. We are projecting weakness as we go into this situation. We're giving weapons to people. We have no idea against whom those weapons are going to be used. Hopefully they'll be used against people we want them to be used against. But in all likelihood, as David has already said, they're probably going to be turned on us at some point.
So we've got a situation, David, right now where we're really looking at, and this is real, where we could be funding people that will be taking up arms against us.
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, look, I will tell you, it's not that big a mystery who these people are. They're the Muslim Brotherhood. They're various offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood. There might be a few little small militia groups sprinkled in there that are truly moderates, that are truly allied, but they have been swallowed up by various offshoots in the Muslim Brotherhood. That's a fact. And so what we're doing once again, and once again, we're betting on the Muslim Brotherhood. And when I say we, the Obama administration is. He bet on the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and lost. He bet on various Muslim Brotherhood offshoots in Libya and lost. And here we go again. Why will this president not learn?
His narrative is that he's going to reshape the Middle East in his image, and that image has been a disaster. And he will not pivot off that narrative. So, folks, here's what we want you to do. This is really critical. Number one, the votes could be taking place tomorrow in the House. We're going to have to work really hard to try to stop this. We shouldn't be funding groups of jihadists and people we don't know. It really is that simple. So go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 and sign on to that petition today. It's our taxpayer dollars. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let me encourage you, sign that petition today. Also, today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, those are going to be the big days for the pre-sale of our book, but also it is now available. You can actually download it today on Kindle, on your Nook, on Apple iBooks. So the book is available today. So there's a couple things I want you to do in this regard. If you have not yet bought the book, help us. This is, we've never asked you to do this before. We're asking you to do it this time. The name of the book is called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. I wrote it with Jordan and Skip Ash and David French. It is the text on who we're dealing with. All the issues you see being discussed, we have them in great detail in this book. So let me encourage you to acquire the book today. Again, Apple, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can order it today on your e-readers. It will come today. And we want to get on that bestsellers list to compel reviews. Also, and this is another aspect of it, the book will be available in bookstores October 14th from around the country. I mean, we're going to be in almost every bookstore in the United States. But we need to do pre-sales. We want people to know that we really want the publishing world to know that there are people that are thinking about this issue that have a plan, and we want that plan to be put forward by our team, and you can be part of that. You can order it at any of your favorite bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon as well. You can get the paperback version. We encourage you to do that. It's going to also be available in Walmart. So the book is Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We've set up a website called riseofisis.com. You can get the book there. It's that easy to do, riseofisis.com. That's a book site we've set up, so you can just download or really click on to buy the book. Do it today, riseofisis.com, and you'll get the song, Where I Stand, as part of this package. We'll be back with more in just a moment. I can't stand to see this.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. As Americans express growing concern about ISIS, the Islamic State, the Obama administration is going to Congress to ask for money to arm Syrian rebels. That's right, he wants to arm and fund jihadists, so-called moderates that, according to reports, are working with ISIS. You can't fight ISIS with jihadists. Tell President Obama no American weapons or money for Syrian jihad. Add your name to our new petition online now at ACLJ.org. And learn the real story of ISIS and Hamas. Order ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow's new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. A powerful must-read, now available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple. Help us sound the alarm. You can buy the book online, riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. ChiefCounsel.com. Order your copy today.
What I see from where I stand, I can't begin to comprehend. Awakened fear, just to think.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. And we are doing a special broadcast from the campus of Regent University. Our ACLJ office is here on the fourth floor of the law school. Skip Ash, our senior counsel for the ACLJ, head of our national security group, is with me here. David French, head of our digital advocacy in our media center. And we're talking about this threat of ISIS. Now, the president and the White House are in a bit of a spin control right now because reports have come out literally, I mean, all over the country from all sorts of news sources that, in fact, the Syrian moderates, or most of them, have now cut a deal with ISIS and basically a non-aggression pact, which before we play the bite from the White House trying to kind of backpedal this, let's talk about what that means. So militarily, Skip, when you've got a situation like this, if there's this basically truce, what does this mean practically?
It means practically that they're going to be cooperating where they can, and where they don't cooperate, they're just going to leave each other alone. But what that means is that we are, in effect, assisting ISIS, because the people we want to go against ISIS are not going to be helping against ISIS. They're going to be turning against the Assad regime, which is a secondary problem for us.
And David, you view the moderate, if there's any, left as a small faction of the otherwise Syrian rebel forces right now.
Right. I mean, look, way back in 2011 when the Syrian civil war started, there was a faction of former Syrian military officers that we could have supported, and the Obama administration sat on its hands. And since that time, the jihadists have taken over in force. And yeah. So if you look at the number of groups fighting, the number of fighters they have, the Army of the Mujahideen, the al-Nusra Front, the Islamic Front, all of these jihadist groups are far stronger than that old remnant of the secular opposition that sprang up in 2011. The Obama administration missed the boat and is now going back and will be doing the worst possible thing, which will be arming people who've already proven that they will go and join ISIS, who've already proven that they will hand weapons over to ISIS, and have reportedly even sold an American to ISIS. So I don't know what the president is thinking here. It's the same song, yeah, different verse of his whole Middle East strategy.
Well, I do think I know what he's thinking here. He's thinking he's going to stick to his narrative of reshaping the Middle East, and basically whether it works out or not, he's sticking to that narrative. And a leader changes when facts on the ground change, but he's not willing to do that. So, folks, I want you to understand what we're saying. And it's not just us. The New York Times is saying this. You're betting on a group that has already shown allegiance to ISIS, so why in the world would we fund them? Listen to this dialogue going on yesterday at the White House press room number 36.
I'm confident that U.S. diplomacy for these moderate Syrians will outweigh ISIS's diplomacy for them, that they won't end up being much more persuasive than we are. I mean, they're fighting right there alongside them. Also,
they're not fighting alongside them. They're actually fighting them, right? And they have been for 3 years.
The German ambassador quoted the New York Times saying that the reason Germany won't provide weapons to the moderate Syrian rebels is that they have no confidence where those weapons will end up. Why are we so much more confident about the final destination of the weapons than the Germans are?
Yeah, well, we shouldn't be. Is the truth of the matter. And again, folks, this is the nature of the narrative. The president has a narrative with Syria that does not make sense. I talked about that this morning on the 700 Club. I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's radio and TV on Thursday talking about it as well. The narrative does not make sense. So here's what we need. We need a couple of call to actions, if you will. Number one, and this is really important, there is a sense that we have got to at least get our voice heard in Congress. You can do that by going to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to go ahead and have your voice added to this petition to make sure our taxpayer dollars are not going to fund these groups. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Now, we also have our book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is now out on Kindle. It's out on Nook. And it's out on Apple iBooks. So when you order it today, you're getting it today. And I need you to do this, folks. Our team needs you to do this. We want to get on that New York Times bestsellers list, and we really need your help for that. Go ahead to either Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or Apple, and you could order the book right now, and you'll get it today. So that would be great if you would do that. Also critical, if you want to get the paperback copy, it'll be out in the bookstores on October 14th. It's going to be in all the bookstores across the country. But you can pre-order it. And that will mean something as well. You can pre-order it at Barnes & Noble. You can pre-order it at Amazon. There's a lot of ways for you to pre-order it.
let me encourage you. I just was walking by in our office here and just had someone say they're going to order 10 copies. That's what we want to do, is distribute this. So that's exactly what we want to have you do. Go out and buy the book and get copies for your friends. Really important. Again, it's called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. And you can go to riseofisis.com. We've got all the links to the places. But David, you also, I guess we want to encourage people to start posting their book reviews once they start reading it as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as they read the book, give it a review. Go on to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and tell us what you think about the book. I mean, this is something where we have to get the word out about the threat of ISIS through all available channels. And this is where our listeners can really help us, is by reading and giving a review of the book and talking about how it impacted them and how it shaped their thinking on the issue.
So that's the idea, folks, is to really get this out there. Riseofisis.com. Now, we just played for you Josh Earnest's comments. There's another one, a follow-up on this. And remember, the last question was from the fact that the German ambassador was quoted in the New York Times saying that Germany will not provide weapons to moderate Syrian rebels because they don't know where they're going to end up. Listen to this follow-up.
Well, let me say that we do have more confidence in the kinds of relationships that the international community has with the opposition fighters. Because the opposition fighters are not fighting the international community, they're fighting ISIL. So I'm skeptical that ISIL is going to have a whole lot of success approaching them and achieving a diplomatic breakthrough.
I mean, this is absurd. This is the White House speaking, but that's just not the facts on the ground. And you know, I don't think the Germans are insignificant in the world stage, okay, number one, nor do I think the Brits are. And everybody's concerned that the moderate, so-called moderate forces, if there are any that are truly left, they've been so marginalized that they don't exist. When I hear this coming out of the White House, Skip, my concern is that the president does not get it, and the White House is sending the wrong signal, and so is the Secretary of State.
That's exactly right. What we have here is a situation where the president and his team do not understand and refuse to accept the fact that we have reports that the people we're going to support have allied themselves, at least with a non-aggression pact, with the people we're trying to fight. So if the people we're trying to arm to fight the group has already agreed they won't fight them, why are we arming them?
And that's the, you know, that really is the question of the day here. Why would we arm them? We're going to be talking about more of this. We're here for another half hour. If you get us on SiriusXM, you're getting the whole hour of the broadcast. If not, just go over to ACLJ.org. We're also monitoring the Senate Armed Services hearings. By the way, coming up on the broadcast, some updates on Pastor Saeed Abedini's case, more on the situation with ISIS. And again, folks, if you want to make sure your dollars, taxpayer dollars, are not given to groups that are going to be joining ISIS, I mean, I cannot even believe we're doing that. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 and sign on to that petition. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. It really is that critical that you do it. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Now, again, let me ask you to do all of us here at the ACLJ a huge favor. You've done it before for us on other topics, on other issues. We need you to buy our book. The book is called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We want it on the New York Times bestsellers list. We want you to buy that book today. You can get it on Amazon on your Kindle immediately. It's available right now, so when you buy it, you get it. We also know that it's available on your Nook if you're using Barnes & Noble's e-reader. You can also get it on your Apple iBooks. And when you get the book, by the way, you're also going to get the song Where I Stand, the song you hear being played during this broadcast. It also helps us get to the bestsellers list, which is the goal here, so that our voice collectively, yours, mine, our entire team's, is heard on what I believe is a defining issue for our country. So you can go to riseofisis.com or go right to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple to get the e-reader version. And if you want to pre-order the trade paperback, the paperback, you could do that as well. We encourage you to do it. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Add your name to our new petition online now at aclj.org. And learn the real story of ISIS and Hamas. Order ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow's new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, a powerful must-read, now available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple. Help us sound the alarm. You can buy the book online, riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order your copy today.
back to the broadcast, everyone. I'm coming to you from the offices of the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ, here at the campus of Regent University on the fourth floor of the law school. Skip Ash, senior counsel for the ACLJ, head of our national security group, is with me, and David French is as well. Let me take an aside here. We've been talking about the situation in the Middle East and, of course, with ISIS and the serious threat that all of this is. But we're also working on right now, in the same vein, this issue with Hamas and the Palestinian Authority and their move to the International Criminal Court in The Hague. We're actually working on a document today, literally as we speak, about that. Skip it, give everybody an update. So you understand, folks, on the greater Middle East issue, the ACLJ fully engaged with our office in Jerusalem. In fact, we've been in contact with our Jerusalem office this morning.
Well, what's happening right now is that the Palestinians are trying to get the International Criminal Court to accept them as a state. And if they can do that, then they want to bring Israelis before the International Criminal Court for prosecution for alleged war crimes and crimes against humanity. We're countering that because, really, Palestine is not yet a state, despite what the UN said a couple of years ago. And so what we're doing is we're going back to the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, and we're pointing out what the law is, and we're saying as a prosecutor, she's bound by the law, and therefore she needs to recognize there is no Palestinian state.
So, by the way, we cover Hamas in the book. So in our book, Dealing the Rise of ISIS, we tie in the Hamas to this because they're part and parcel of the same situation. And, David, we made the intentional decision to do that because it is part of the same overall problem. Same religious basis, same desire, same goals. Of course, Hamas really targeting on Israel. But it is the same idea of the Islamic Caliphate.
Absolutely. It's the same jihad. I mean, we make a mistake if we single out individual groups and say, well, that's the war. If we can just deal with Al-Qaeda, that's the war. If we can just deal with ISIS, that's the war. No, it's a fight against a jihadist movement that has many entities. And Hamas in the Gaza Strip is there's no moral distinction between Hamas and ISIS. They would do to the Jews of Israel exactly what ISIS has done to the Christians of Iraq if they could. So that's why it's important to point out these similarities and to point out that, you know, this is one jihad that we're facing across the world.
Let me tell you one of the reasons when we did the book Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, we included Hamas in it and the whole discussion with Israel because, folks, we've got to defend Israel. I mean, it's a biblical mandate that we defend Israel, so it's not an option. And I'll bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee. So we wanted a book that's the definitive book that's out in the press before anything else, defending Israel's right to defend itself against Hamas and also defending the Christians of Iraq and Syria and also to stop the genocide that's going on by ISIS. So we've tied it all together in one book. It's called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. But there is a large section dealing with Israel and Hamas. So here's what I need you to do. You go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or Apple iBooks, and you can download, you can get it today to your e-reader, the book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Also, very important, the paperback will be out October 14th. We want to hit the bestseller list on that as well. You can pre-order now. And let me encourage you to do just that. You can do it at those same sources, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can also go to your local bookstores and get it. Make sure it's there. If we can get our voice out there, and we will, we can become the definitive voice on how to deal with this threat and at the same time protecting Israel's right to defend itself. It's called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. You can go to riseofisis.com, get all kinds of information about the book. Also, as David mentioned, if you want to do a book review on Amazon, we encourage you to do that as well. When you order the book, you're getting the song. And that concludes, by the way, when you order the paperback, you'll have access to digital of the song. So that's very important as well. Let me encourage you to do that. And also, sign our petition to stop the jihad funding that's going on right now, a plan to, by going to ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
As Americans express growing concern about ISIS, the Islamic State, the Obama administration is going to Congress to ask for money to arm Syrian rebels. That's right, he wants to arm and fund jihadists, so-called moderates that, according to reports, are working with ISIS. You can't fight ISIS with jihadists. Tell President Obama no American weapons or money for Syrian jihad. Add your name to our new petition online now at ACLJ.org. And learn the real story of ISIS and Hamas. Order ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow's new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. A powerful must-read, now available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple. Help us sound the alarm. You can buy the book online, riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order your copy today. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We wanted to give you an update on the situation with Pastor Saeed as we're covering all of these issues in the Middle East. Jordan was just on air with Janet Parshall, our friend from Moody Radio. Take a listen.
Joining me now is Jordan Sekulow, the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. And we've got a link on our website for ACLJ and all of the fabulous work that they have done, particularly in this area. They are leaders in this area. Religious persecution is a growing international problem. And I praise God that ACLJ has been on the cutting line. So Nagme has a challenge to all of us, Jordan. She wants us to join her for this prayer vigil. Before we get to that, let's just back up a little bit. I just read a posting that Nagme had put up that said Saeed's mom and dad had gotten a chance to visit him. And again, still no medical treatment for the internal bleeding and the beating. We know that ISIS has made threats against him in the prison. We know that he's really in a prison within a prison because he's an infidel and he should be killed by some who are prisoners. They fear their lives so little, the loss of their lives so little, that they would like to take his life so much. And yet he's still behind bars, and it doesn't look like there's any hope of a change at all. What can you tell us about him?
That's right. And Janet, thanks for having me on. You know, Saeed is in this situation right now as we speak where he is awaiting medical attention, and he was taken to a hospital again for medical review. And that was a good sign, a positive sign. In fact, there's been statements back and forth between the U.S. government and the Iranian government during the nuclear negotiations. That part of those negotiations, though they always say Saeed's not the focus, that keeping him as healthy as possible and, of course, keeping him alive is a concern. And they've expressed that to Iran, and Iran has promised to look into that. And usually after that, we see those moves, like he gets a medical review, but he has not been rehospitalized. That would be our hope right now. A number one hope, of course, is to get him back home to the United States. But also we have to be realistic in who and what we're dealing with. And when we're dealing with Iran, you know, being in a place like a hospital is much better than being where he is now in Rajshahr prison. And as you mentioned, that newer threat, a prison within a prison because of the Islamic State fighters who Iran is opposed to. And this gets into the issues that even people are talking about today involving President Obama's speech and who it helps when we fight ISIS or who it could potentially benefit and what weighing the cost there. But Iran is opposed to them. They're fighting through their proxy force. They're fighting ISIS in Syria through Hezbollah. And so they've actually picked up and arrested Islamic State fighters. They made threats on Saeed's life. And it was interesting because he's already, you know, his life can be in jeopardy because of it being a Christian. But because he's an American, it makes him that much more valuable to the Islamic State. So it's interesting for all of us out there. It's now not just because of his faith. That's kind of secondary to the fact that they've got an American they could get their hands on. Of course, they're already in prison, but they would happily, if they can do more damage and you know, keep their cause going even while behind bars, they would do that. So Saeed's having to rely on people in the prison, allies in the prison, to let him know when it's basically safe to come out and when they're allowed those periods of time where they're allowed to be outside.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let me go to your point about the American, because I think that's so important. So if those are Muslim prisoners, they're not in prison because of their faith, by the way, but that would be the categorization. If the fact that Saeed is an American has value to them, pull back, go to the wide angle perspective, a country that's really run by a puppet president, it's the Ayatollahs that pull all the strings, wouldn't Saeed therefore still have value to them as a prisoner because he's an American, because it's sending a message back to America? So without being a discourager here, because the glass is always half full for us as Christ followers, it seems to me that short of a movement of God, though, politically, why in the world would they return him when they're such entrenched hatred against America in Iran?
It has to really be part of a larger deal, Janet. And you know, we weren't in these talks when Saeed was initially arrested, and we're getting close to that 2-year anniversary. We weren't in dialogue with Iran. They were only, kind of not official talks that were going on. Now we have official talks. They're happening right now as we speak, actually, another round of those. So even though they keep saying, well, it's on the periphery, it's on the side, you know, I do believe that, and I don't, and we haven't seen the United States try to get into any long-term deal with Iran while Saeed is still in prison, and a couple of other Americans, most recently a Washington Post journalist who's a dual citizen. And so we've seen Secretary Kerry, the very end of last month, so just a couple of weeks ago, issue actually what was the most impassioned plea he's issued throughout this, where he actually talked about Naghmeh specifically and said that Miss Abedini has spoken eloquently about the difficulties her family has faced during this challenging time. So acknowledging that, acknowledging the 2-year unfortunate anniversary that's coming up that we'll mark with the prayer vigils. But we have to keep fighting. We have to remain hopeful and stay in prayer. And, of course, take these opportunities when there is more focus, again, like the 2-year anniversary we're talking about, to really press Saeed's case. Because we have this unprecedented time still happening, where the U.S. and Iran are sitting down at a table together. And that hasn't happened before, like it has been going off these past 6 months since 1979 and the revolution there.
Wow. Wow. So there's a thank you, Lord, in the midst of all of that story. I had heard that the kids are having a bit of a struggle, on again, off again. I mean, their daddy has been gone now for close to 2 years. They've had birthdays in his absence. They keep wondering if he'll come home. They've been drawing pictures that really reveal that they're very, very brokenhearted about this.
That's right. You know, Jacob and Rebecca are now, you know, they've got celebrated third birthdays. You know, they've gone through 3 birthdays without their dad. They've started first grade without their dad and third grade without their dad. And, you know, missing key times. And they're becoming more and more aware the older they get about the situation and about reality of these situations. And, of course, nothing that normal kids their age would want to ever have to think about, but they are. And so, and their mom is having to do a lot of work. You know, she's traveling the country and the world on behalf of Saeed. They've got a strong family support in Idaho where they are. But, you know, continue your prayer. When you say a prayer for Saeed, make sure to pray for the strength of the family, for Naghmeh and for those kids, because ultimately it's about them and getting him home to be a father again, because this is now, it's not just been 6 months without dad. It's close to 2.5 years when we hit this 2-year mark of his imprisonment.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So she's encouraging us to join her. Tell us about the Be Heard Project.
Absolutely. Be Heard Project is one of our outlets for especially the persecuted church around the world. And we created this so we could really focus attention and even gather more people who may not always agree with us on the ACLJ issues, but understand the issue of Christian persecution. We just speak to that on Be Heard Project. And we actually have a vigil coming up, a much bigger vigil than we've done before, on September 26th, and we're asking people to take part in them across the country. The info's up at BeHeardProject.com or SaeedVigil.com. That's SaeedVigil.com. And those are September 26th. You can go through and see all the vigils happening all over the world. And if you don't see one that's close enough to you, there's an email address there, so you can actually create your own vigil. We'll get you the information that you'll need and prepared even some remarks as well. So even if you're kind of nervous about those things, you can make sure to set up your own vigil, and we can all come together in prayer. And I can also tell you, Janet, about a special event for people who are in the Washington, D.C. area. We haven't even really started publicizing this much yet, but on September 25th, so the evening before the anniversary, Franklin Graham, along with me and my dad and Nagma Abedini, Saeed's wife, will be in Washington, D.C. at Lafayette Square, which is just right by the White House, at a prayer vigil at 6 p.m. So people, if they're in that area and they've contacted Be Heard or ACLJ or Samaritan's Purse, they'll get the info. But I did want to let people know about that. So we're really making a push for prayer here because, again, it's taking its toll on the family more so now than before.
Absolutely. And again, Saeed is representative of the mounting Christian persecution that's taking place globally right now. You know, I'm just starting to think to myself, Franklin Graham, here he is, Samaritan's Purse. He has come out and has been unbelievably vocal about recognizing radical Islam as the challenge to religious liberty and the coster, if I can put it that way, against Christians in particular in so many countries. Now, some people might pull him aside and say, no, no, Franklin, that might have a negative impact on Samaritan's Purse. You don't want to do that. And yet he has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger in this area. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it's because Franklin actually works in those areas. So unlike some of us and some people on the outside who may think it say, okay, well, then how are they going to be able to do the work that they do in some of these areas? You know, when people have disasters and when Samaritan's Purse comes to the rescue, they quickly forget all of that and they just need help. And so they're able to do their work regardless. I think he's understood that and learned that through his years of doing this work. And so when he does speak out, it's done so in a way, you know, purposefully. It's not off the cuff. And for all of us who are engaged in these issues, there are sometimes you have to be tough. There are sometimes you have to be quiet.
By the way, there's going to be a prayer vigil or a series of them. We're doing one in Washington with our friend Franklin Graham on September 25th, and you're in the Washington, D.C. metro area, Virginia, Maryland. You should come and join us in front of the White House. Franklin Graham will be there. I'll be there, Nagma Abedini. The next day, there are prayer vigils going on throughout the United States and, frankly, around the globe to pray for Pastor Saeed and the persecuted church, but we want to bring attention to his situation. In the book Rise of ISIS, we talk about the threat to Christians, what this all means. Let me encourage you, I said, it's available right now on Amazon. It's available it's for your Kindle. It's available on Nook at Barnes & Noble. You can also get it at your Apple iReader. If you order it today, you're getting it today. So it's instant download. It's out. We want you to post reviews. If you want to order the paperback version of the book, let me encourage you to do that as well. You can do that at any of those sources or your local bookstore. RiseofISIS.com is a great website that we've set up for the book, so you know where you can get it. But again, folks, we want to get on the New York Times bestsellers list. The next few days are really, really critical. ACLJ.org or RiseofISIS.com. Back with more in a moment. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
As Americans express growing concern about ISIS, the Islamic State, the Obama administration is going to Congress to ask for money to arm Syrian rebels. That's right. He wants to arm and fund jihadists, so-called moderates that, according to reports, are working with ISIS. You can't fight ISIS with jihadists. Tell President Obama no American weapons or money for Syrian jihad. Add your name to our new petition online now at ACLJ.org. And learn the real story of ISIS and Hamas. Order ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow's new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, a powerful must-read, now available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple. Help us sound the alarm. You can buy the book online, riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order your copy today.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We were joined just a little while ago by our friend, Senator Lindsey Graham, on the issue of ISIS and what it means. I want to play that interview for you. You need to listen to this because Senator Graham's been front and center on a lot of these issues. And the fact of the matter is, folks, we know the significance of the threat that's going on. And so does Senator Graham. And we know what we're going to expect in the United States Senate. We've got a battle. That's why we've got a petition up right now to say, let's not taxpayer dollars go to groups we don't know who they are. We don't want... It's very simple. Don't send money to jihadists. It's a pretty simple petition. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Here's Senator Graham. Joining us on the phone right now is a very good friend of ours, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. He's been leading a lot of efforts, especially with the situation with ISIS. I want to get first, Senator, since we talked a couple of weeks ago, your sense on the success of the airstrikes and what's the threat level as you're hearing it and seeing it with ISIS as it stands right now?
Well, my initial impression is that the strategy we've employed doesn't meet the threat, that these airstrikes have slowed ISIS down with inside of Iraq and helped the Kurds. But here's the problem. Our president doesn't see ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call them, in Syria and Iraq as a direct threat to the homeland. Our response is not consistent with the threat, so I'm very, very worried.
I want to say for everybody that's listening that Senator Graham is also a Judge Advocate General Colonel in the United States Air Force, so I know you appreciate the work that the Air Force has done on this. You talk about not understanding the threat, which I think is a significant aspect of this. What's interesting to me, Senator Graham, is this summer I did a presentation at Oxford University in England on ISIS, and a professor that was really that was kind of moderating the debate, very left-of-center guy, kind of you can agree to, you know, negotiate with anybody. But when he said, when it came to ISIL, or ISIS as they're now, be ISIL, I guess is what they're called now, he said, you've got to crush them. I mean, he said, eliminate them. There's not a halfway point here. What do you think is the president's hesitancy here? I mean, this is clearly a threat to the region and a threat to the United States. I'm going to get into the whole fact that we got U.S. citizens working with them, but why is the president being so hesitant? Is it because it's not complying with his narrative?
Well, number one, it's never good when your president goes to the left of a Oxford University.
There you go.
That's never good.
Right.
I think I really believe that the reason he's so reluctant to admit the level of threat and you can't negotiate with these guys, you've got to defeat them, is because it would be the biggest admission of all that his foreign policy has failed. But he's not the first president would be required to adjust their policies. Bush's policies in Iraq didn't work, so he brought about the surge. There's a lot of history where presidents misjudged threats, but they adjusted. Here's the question. Will this president adjust? He failed to leave a residual force behind like his military advisors recommended in Iraq. That's caught up with us. This was all preventable. For him to recognize the threat today that this is a terrorist army that represents a threat to the homeland would mean he'd have to admit his strategy didn't work. Well, you know what? That's okay to admit your strategy didn't work. What's not okay is to minimize the threat to the homeland.
There seems to be this approach right now, at least some of the things we're hearing from our team over in the Middle East, our offices in Jerusalem, that the president is operating more, Senator Graham, under this containment approach, that somehow if you can contain ISIL to this the regions that they have, that it'll be a containable threat. But this is not a group that's interested in the status quo or being static. They're moving and moving aggressively here. So does this whole containment approach do anything?
Well, number one, you've got to understand who you're dealing with. Their goal is to create an Islamic caliphate throughout the Mideast and one day the world. So they're not in the business of negotiating. What they want, we can't give, which is our way of life. And I don't think the president appreciates that there are people on the planet who represent evil. These guys are the Nazis personified on religious,
yep,
they're on steroids. And so at the end of the day, I think the president has to come to grips with the idea that these people are not going to be stopped unless somebody engages them. And there is no substitute for American military power here. You can't stop them without hitting them in Syria. There's no force in the Mideast can stop them without at least American air power. and you've got 140 American citizens today going to the jihad.
Yeah, I want to actually ask you about that because, Senator, one of the things that we're concerned about is what, you know, there's reports that 140 Americans have joined ISIL so far. How should these, we understand the law of war. You understand the law of war. You've been dealing with it in your entire military career. How do we classify, how should the president classify these individuals?
As unlawful enemy combatants, any belligerents, whatever term you want to use, there are many to describe it. Unlawful enemy combatants subject to being killed or captured under the law of war. Consider these guys enemy combatants, which they could be killed on the battlefield by American military or intelligence community if captured. Don't read them their Miranda rights. Hold them for intelligence gathering under the law of war so our intelligence community and military can gather intelligence if you capture one of these guys. Here's my question. Does the administration agree with me? Do they agree that an American citizen helping ISIL can be held as an enemy combatant under the law of war? I'm going to write a letter to the Attorney General, DOD General Counsel, White House General Counsel, asking that question. You have been super explaining the difference between being at war and fighting a crime.
You know, Senator, on that point, because I think this is the, I think you've got the crux of the issue, as you always do on this. And that is the idea that you treat this as, I mean, when the Attorney General says we're going to bring the individual that did that act, beheading an American journalist, to justice, I mean, it just, the signal it sends is like, we're going to bring him into the U.S. District Court in New York again and do this whole process? Okay, last question. We got a book coming out in the next couple of weeks with Simon Schuster that we've written on ISIL and on Hamas and just the entire process of what's going on. We talk about it in the context of genocide. This is a very direct question. I know what your answer is going to be, but, Senator, coming from you, it's going to make a difference. There are people that are listening to the broadcast right now saying, so what do we do? At the end of the day, isn't it true that ISIL has to be eliminated? They have to be stopped.
They have to be defeated. And what I would do is urge my members of Congress to support a strategy that would lead to the defeat and destruction of ISIL, because if we don't, they're coming here. So if there's a debate in Congress over what we should do, I would hope your listeners would challenge their member of Congress, the United States Senator, to come up with a strategy that is consistent with the threat. Please don't play this game. You're taking options off the table when it comes to our very existence as a nation. If our commanders tell us we need ground forces to defeat this threat, then tell your member of Congress to do whatever is necessary to defeat radical Islam over there. My goal is to keep the fight over there so it doesn't come here. My goal is to save Christians from being slaughtered in Iraq and Syria. My goal is to destroy radical Islam wherever we find it and replace it with people we can live with. And that's going to take time, effort, and commitment and will. So your listeners have signed petitions about supporting right. Israel over Hamas. Your listeners can have a direct effect when evangelical Christians call up a member of the Senate or House and tell them, do whatever is necessary to defeat radical Islam. That will give them some political will to do the right thing rather than being a hedgehog and always hedging your bets. Don't become Obama. We've got people in our own party that believe in a disengagement. Their voices yep. in the Republican Party really, believe it or not, to the left of Obama, who would not treat these guys as enemy combatants. So your listeners can be very helpful to a guy like me.
That's going to do it for the broadcast today, everyone. Again, let me encourage you, if you want to get the ebook version of our book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, it's available today on Kindle. It's available on Nook and Apple iBooks, and you can actually download it and get it today. You'll also get the song Where I Stand, which you've heard throughout this broadcast. We encourage you to do that as well. And let me take it one step further on this, folks, and this is where you really can play a key role with us. You can also pre-order the paperback at those same sources or your local bookstore, Rise of ISIS. You can go to riseofisis.com. We really appreciate it. We want to hit those New York Times bestsellers list. We'll be back with more tomorrow.
Add your name to our new petition online now at aclj.org. And learn the real story of ISIS and Hamas. Order ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow's new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, a powerful must-read, now available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple. Help us sound the alarm. You can buy the book online, riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order your copy today.